If you have your Bibles, I want you to be turning to the book of Genesis, chapter number 46. And then also Genesis chapter number 50. We'll read first in Genesis 46 and then in Genesis 50. I appreciate the privilege of being here tonight. I appreciate the good singing by the choir. I like to see people enjoy what they do. And I saw people in the choir enjoying what they're doing. And it made me enjoy it. Somebody asked me one time, I preached and said, "Preacher, did you enjoy what you preached?" I said, "Yeah, didn't I act like it?" If I don't act like I'm enjoying something, I can't expect nobody else to enjoy it. Appreciate these young men. They've blessed our hearts. And appreciate Jonathan and Jason and Kevin. They are the Truth Trio. That's their designated name. And these boys have blessed us on many of occasion. And I want to say I appreciate Brother Tom Hayes. There ought to be a challenge in us tonight to keep on warning. Yes, keep on preaching. Telling sinners to repent. There is a Savior who loves them. If you're willing and able, would you stand as we read this portion of God's Word. Genesis chapter number 46 and verse number 5. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, and their little ones, and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods, which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt. Then in chapter 50, verse 22, and Joseph dwelled in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You can be seated tonight. There are several brothers who are mentioned in the book of Genesis. You'll find that God mentions the first two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain was the brother who was an outlaw, a vagabond, as Brother Tom has well said tonight. He wanted to come his way instead of coming God's way, and became a fugitive, wandering in this world. There was Abel, the brother who offered and brought that sacrifice of blood and came God's way and was honored by God's acceptance. There was also Esau and Jacob. Esau was the brother who overindulged. He thought more of the sod pottage and feeding his flesh than he did concerning the blessings of being the firstborn son. And then there was Jacob, the brother who outwitted. He outwitted his brother Esau and robbed him of his birthright. And he outwitted his father Isaac and received the blessing of the firstborn. But I want you to know he never did outwit the Lord. You might be able to pull the wool over the eyes of some, but you'll never outwit the Lord. But I want to look at Joseph tonight. And he is the brother who overcomes. He is the brother who rises above the difficulties and the hardships of his life. He is one who faces his tribulations and trials. And instead of drowning in self-pity, he rises to the top and he is victorious and he has triumph in his life because of God who is present with him. May I say tonight, God help us to be a Joseph. God help us to be an overcomer. Anybody can be a quitter tonight. Anybody can throw in the towel. Anybody can stop singing in the choir. Anybody can lay out of church. But I want to say tonight, God give us some Josephs that'll face the difficulties and the hardships that come in life and rise above it all and live with victory and joy in their heart. Joseph is that example of an overcoming life. And tonight I just want to emphasize one element that is found in this life of Joseph being a overcomer. I want to emphasize tonight the rewards of Joseph's triumph. There are certain bounties and benefits that can be experienced by any child of God that will rise above their hardships
and face their difficulties and have a right spirit and a sweet heart within themselves. There are certain benefits that Joseph experienced. It was R.G. Lee that preached that sermon, Payday Someday. I'm glad I can say tonight that one day it'll be worth every mile of the trip. Payday will come. There are certain rewards. There are certain benefits. There are blessings to be experienced by God's child who will not say quit, but rise above it all and overcome. There are three or four things I mentioned, and I'm done. You'll find that Joseph experienced a united family. Had not Joseph been faithful to God, had not Joseph reacted right to his difficulties, had not Joseph risen above all of his mistreatment and cruel use, then he would have never seen those wagons coming down from Canaan with his father and his brethren and his nieces and nephews. He'd have never seen them come to the land of Goshen. He would have never experienced sitting down with his father once again at the table and breaking bread. But because Joseph faced his difficulties and overcome those things that would have drowned his life, thank God there's a day when his family gathered around him again. It had been somewhat 30 years since he had seen his father or heard his voice. I'm sure there had been times Joseph had imagined in his mind hearing some of his father's favorite sayings, but no father to be seen. But there come a day, hallelujah, that the family came again and he was able to sit down. Aren't you glad God is a God that can put broken things together? He's a God that can bring unity, a God that can bring harmony, a God that can put it all back together again. Oh, bless his name. And Joseph experienced a united family. They were not just united in their locality. You know, there's a lot of folks live close to one another, but they're not in harmony with one another. And there's a lot of folks that bear the same last name, but they don't have nothing to do much with one another. But I'm glad it wasn't so. I thank God the hearts of Joseph's brethren and the heart of Joseph were knitted together. There was fellowship. There was harmony. And tonight, I'm just here to tell you, don't give up now. Don't fall by the wayside now. Don't succumb to your difficulties now. Stay true to God. One day, the Lord's liable to send someone wagons your way and put some things together that have been broken and severed by this world. But there's a second thing Joseph experienced because of his overcoming. He experienced not only a united family, but he experienced an unction on his father. He got to see the hand of God on his father Jacob. like he'd never seen it before. You say, preacher, where's that at? You go read Genesis chapter number 48. Jacob is a nearing death. His faculties are weak. His eyes are dim. His strength is waning. When Joseph comes with his two sons to be blessed by Jacob, their father, he has to strengthen himself to rise on his bed. And then he leans upon that shepherd's staff that he had used all of his life. And in those trembling moments, you would think, well, his head would have been hung low and his spirits would have been dampened and destroyed. But if you go read what he says, he begins to say, the angel that redeemed me from all trouble and the God who has fed me all of my life long, bless these lads. Sounds like a man that has victory in his heart. He's grown old. He's fixing to cross a river. He has no sad reports. He's not grumbling nor complaining about the journey. No, he's bragging on his God. He's glorifying his Lord. And the Hebrew writer said, while he leaned on his staff, he was worshiping his God. I say, hallelujah. Wouldn't it be a blessing for some of our youngins to see God's hand on our life? Wouldn't it be a blessing for some of our grandchildren to see God's hand and God's unction and God's touch on our life? It'd be a blessing on Sunday morning for the Holy Ghost to touch your life. You stand and brag on your God in front of your children. Let them know that God is your God. And Joseph experienced that unction. He saw the hand of God on his father. I wonder, when's the last time God touched your life in a special way? When's the last time you come to church and your children saw the touch of the Holy Ghost on your life? Hey, Joseph, had he not been faithful, had he not overcome his difficulties, he would have never been able to talk to his father again and eat at the same table. He'd have never seen the hand of God touch his life as it did. And tonight I challenge you, I don't want to leave this world and my children wonder where he's gone. I want them to know, when I cross a river, I've gone to a better land, and I'm looking for them to come on after me. I say hallelujah tonight. What a God he is. We need his touch. We need his hand on our life. But there's a third thing. Not only did Joseph experience a united family, not only did he see the unction of God on his father, but Joseph experienced an unfolding future. You see, when Joseph first arrived in Egypt, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. He readily understood and realized that God had a personal interest in his life. And I'm so glad I found out that God was concerned not only about you, but God was concerned about me in a personal way, in an intimate way. Thank God for that Friday night when he came to where I was at. And my heart was gripped with conviction, and I saw myself a sinner, and the Lord saved me by his marvelous grace. God was interested in my life and in Potiphar's house, and God blessing Joseph. Joseph come to understand that God was interested in helping Joseph in his need. But then Potiphar's wife lies on him. He runs out of his cloak. And I want to say to all of us, preacher, we better keep our lives pure. I say that with all the humility and humbleness I can say, because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But we better learn to keep our lives pure and clean. Thrown into prison, but the Bible said, and the Lord was with Joseph. And even when the butler forgot about him, I'm glad Joseph knew the Lord was with him. And then finally comes a day, they call for Joseph, said Pharaoh wants to see you. And he goes and stands before Pharaoh, interprets his dream, and Pharaoh puts him in charge of gathering the corn throughout the seasons of harvest. And God is interested in Joseph's life. And that's all Joseph understood. But then 7 years of plenty passed. The granaries were full. The silos were full. The grain had been stored. And famine began to set in. And 2 years into the famine, one day comes 9 men to the throne of Joseph. They don't know who Joseph is, but Joseph knows who they are. They're his brethren. And all of a sudden, Joseph begins to understand it's not just about him. It's not just about him. It's about his family. God's not just interested in saving me and helping me, but God's interested in helping my family. Because here's my brethren, they're without grain. They need corn, and I'm here to give them corn. And he sends them on their way finally, and they return. And he reveals himself and says to his brethren, don't feel guilty about what you did, for God sent me down here to save you by great deliverance. Hallelujah tonight. God began to unfold the future to Joseph. God was not just interested in delivering Joseph's individual life, but God was interested in saving his entire family. Hey, it's not about what I want, and it's not about what you want, but God's working collectively to meet the needs of a church family. It's not just about you, it's about every family, every individual. The future is unfolding. Amen. But God's not through there. And you see, had Joseph not overcome, he would have never experienced such blessing. But you see, God was not just interested in saving an individual from certain destruction and despair. And God wasn't just interested in saving just a family. When Jacob got down to Egypt, Jacob went to talking about the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac that had made some promises to the people of God. And Joseph began to realize that God's not just interested in him, and God's not just interested in his family, but God's interested in making himself a nation, a people unto himself, to worship him, to use in his redemptive plan to bring about the coming of his own dear son, to bring salvation to this world. And that means for you and for me, and that it's not just about an individual, not just about a family. It's about a God who is interested in making a nation that would serve him and acknowledge him as their God. And tonight, I bless his name. That's what Joseph experienced. He saw the future unfolding, and those promises God made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob are now being embraced by Joseph, for he said when he's about to die, I die, but God will surely visit you and bring you into a land that he promised Abraham and Isaac. I say hallelujah, isn't it a blessing when you see some of these younger ones go to locking their arms around certain promises and truths that you've been living by all of your life, and it becomes real to them. It got real to Joseph. The promises God had made to his father. There's a last thing. Boys, how about y'all come around singing something for us? Y'all come on. I'm done. Not only was there a united family and an unction father and an unfolding future, but there was an untainted finish. I read to you his last words. Doesn't sound like someone who has thrown in the towel and quit. Doesn't sound like someone who is fed up with life. Here's a man full of faith and confidence that though he die, God is going to see to it one day that he's going to come down and visit them and bring them up to the land that he promised them through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Joseph leaves out with an untainted testimony. He leaves out in good standing with a righteous witness of a life that has been faithful and true to his God. Oh, Joseph had his faults, I know, but I'm here to tell you, he left out of here with victory. He left out of here in glory. Oh, he died, but they carried his bones up to the land of Canaan. Hallelujah. He got planted over there, and that was a symbol of Christ's resurrection. He went on over, and it was a promise there's a coming over one day after a while. I'm glad tonight because he lives, I'm going to live also. Because he went over, I'm going over. I say hallelujah. He left out of here in glory. He left out of here untainted. They said he was a sinner, but he was wasn't a sinner. He is a son of God. I say hallelujah to his name. Don't want to leave out of here right. Don't want to disgrace my Lord. Don't want to disappoint my family. Don't want to dishonor the church, nor the office that God has set me in. Oh, God, help us to be a Joseph tonight and to finish this race in the right manner and in the right way. Hallelujah to his name. Let me tell you this, while you stand and they're going to sing. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, Paul records these words in Genesis chapter 50. You know, I've wondered why the Holy Ghost chose those words to say about Joseph. You know, he could have said a lot of things about the faith of Joseph. He could have emphasized how he remained pure, though tempted by Potiphar's wife. He could have written how Joseph remained faithful, even though the butler forgot about him. He could have written how Joseph was exalted by Pharaoh. But that's not what he wrote. He wrote the words where Joseph said, "And God will surely visit you and bring you unto a land that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And he died. Bible scholars agree that Joseph is probably the most typical of Christ of any Old Testament character. And the Holy Ghost emphasized what he said at the end of his life, brought attention to it. I'm glad there's another heavenly Joseph that had something to say at the end of his life. He cried and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He cried, "I thirst." He said, "A woman, behold thy son." He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then he cries, "It is finished. And Father, into thy hands commend I my spirit." Hey, I'm glad for the last words Joseph spake. He was trying to help the children of Israel and encourage them. I want to challenge you tonight to be a Joseph. Amen. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Anybody can do that. Be a Joseph. Face your difficulties and rise above them. It's no telling what God may bring your way and bless you with. While they sing, God's speaking to your heart.